This is the Business English Podcast, episode 244. Business Meetings in English, part 2. Are you cutting corners?
Welcome to the Business English Podcast from All Ears English. Get the English skills you need to achieve your dreams in global business. For a presentation, a meeting, or your office party, this is Real Business English with your favorite American hosts, Lindsay and Aubrey, coming to you from Arizona and Colorado, USA.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, Aubrey, how's it going today? Hello.
I'm great. Hi, how are you, Lindsay?
Good. I started that episode a little different than I normally do, but that's okay.
Good. We got to keep you guys on your toes, right?
Yes, 100%. So, Aubrey, do you feel like you're good at thinking outside of the box in general? Are you good at that kind of thinking?
That's a good question. It's funny. I was just chatting with my daughter about this because she has to do a group project at school. And she didn't really like the ideas the other kids were coming up with. And she was having all these more creative ideas. Ooh. And I said, you are really an outside the box thinker. You're That's wanting cool. to be really creative. I think I would be more like the other kids in the group where I'm okay. like, let's just go the easy route. Let's just do something we know we can, commit to, get done, get a good grade. I was that student where I was more concerned about following the rubric instead of being creative. And that's probably followed me. I don't know if I'm that
interesting.
You know, much of an outside the box thinker. What about you, Lindsay?
I don't know. I think it really depends on the topic. You know, I like to innovate, create new things, do things that feel beyond what's possible for sure. But I don't know if it just depends on the topic. But I wonder if your daughter will be an artist,
right?
Or something.
It depends. Yeah. It depends on the situation, right? Yeah. I'm imagining, because I just had this conversation with my daughter, I'm imagining a schoolwork scenario when that wasn't me, but maybe at work, or maybe if I were doing something artistic, it might be a different situation. It depends on the environment.
I like practical solutions, you know what I mean? Out of the box, practical solutions where you think you need all these fancy things, but actually you could just go do this one thing and it could be just as good. I like that kind of thinking.
For sure.
Very
I love that.
Scrappy thinking. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is interesting because often in meetings, we have to think outside the box, right?
Yes.
We're brainstorming. We're having sessions where we need lots of ideas. We need everyone to be, you know, bringing their A game, where we need to be thinking something new and interesting. And we get a lot of questions about meetings, vocabulary, idioms to use in meetings. So this is actually part 2 of a 3-part series, right, Lindsay?
Yeah, we know that you guys want this vocabulary for meetings. We're giving it to you. Yesterday's episode was part 1, and today is part 2. And then part 3 will be sometime next week. So what should our listeners do, Aubrey, to make sure they get it?
Yes. Hit follow so you don't miss any of our amazing episodes. You guys need this vocabulary to be able to succeed at work, to have the confidence to know that you have phrases and vocabulary for any topic, anything that could come up in a meeting.
Yeah. And yesterday we were talking about how meetings really are that place where it all comes together. And if we feel like we're missing something within our English, we feel exposed, whether we are or not, because again, it comes back to human connection. You can overcome a mistake by connecting. We feel that way. Right.
Exactly. Right. I love the way you phrased it. You said, a meeting is where you can't hide anymore.
You can't hide.
You are able to kind of step into the background, but often in a meeting, especially if you're leading it, but even if you're a participant, you're going to need to be able to speak. You're going to need these phrases so that you can shine.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about the why too, Aubrey. I think the other thing about meetings that's unique is it's where you're most likely to get passed over. Because if people, you may have better knowledge and expertise than anyone, but if you don't have the communication skills to speak up and insert yourself and verbalize your ideas, you'll be passed over for a promotion, right? Yeah.
Or even just to participate in the meeting so that you can show this expertise, because everyone is limited in the amount of time they have. We need to be concise in a meeting. We have a certain amount of time.
Yes.
And so often someone might choose the person who can convey a message in the most concise way. They might know that you have the most information, you have the most knowledge, but if they don't trust you to convey that in a concise way, they might pass you over. So we want to make sure you have that vocabulary.
It's true, because people are impatient. It's not fair, but it is how it is. And we are, especially American business culture and even American academic culture, when we're kids, we're taught to speak up, speak out. What you verbalize is your value. It's not what's in your head. It's what you can articulate. We're such a, I don't know, articulation-based society, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. Right. So for better or worse, you need to be able to practice that and be ready when it's your moment to shine, to have today's idioms are huge for helping you speak in a very native, natural way in the middle of a meeting.
Yeah. So I think we've talked about why this really, really matters. This series in particular is going to be so good for our listeners. Let's get into the vocab. Idioms, Aubrey. We love idioms.
Yes, idioms. And the first one we used at the top of the episode, think outside the box. Mm-hmm. In the corporate setting, this means coming up with innovative ideas, usually during a meeting. This happens all the time. We do use this elsewhere, of course, in English, but I hear it all the time at work.
Yeah, so exactly. So you might say, we need to think outside the box on this project. I kind of wonder what managers or meeting leaders can do and should do and are responsible to do to get the team thinking outside the box. If you go to the same meeting room you've gone every week and sit down and say the same things, can you really think outside of the box? Maybe you need to go outside and sit down on the grass and think, you know, the environment. How does that
change up the environment?
Yeah. Yes.
Right. I love how, you know, Lindsay, you had our team complete like Strengths Finder.
Right.
This can be huge, right? We can think outside the box when we realize how everyone thinks and what our strengths are so that we can build on that, right? The more you know your team, the more you can facilitate this.
Yeah, I love Strengths Finder. It's definitely it's the one assessment that we endorse here at All Ears English. Check it out, guys, if you haven't taken it. It's very validating, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. You see these truths. It's almost like reading your horoscope, but for business, where you realize like, I do have strengths. This is amazing. And I know you feel instead of focusing on your weaknesses, which sometimes we can do, it really changes your perception of that.
It's so true. And it goes beyond just business. It's really, it's about who you are in business and in life. And you can find how you're using that strength in business and outside of work. Right?
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
So interesting.
Okay. So think outside the box. The first one. Anything else? Any others? We have many.
Yes, we do. We're sharing five today. Okay. So stick around so you get them all. Every one of these we use all of the time in meetings. The second one is to have balls in the air. I think of basketball, especially like Harlem Globetrotters, where they have multiple balls spinning, everything, lots happening. This is what this means. Multiple tasks, projects, responsibilities that you have to handle all at the same time.
Yeah, just imagine even a clown juggling, that kind of thing is happening.
Totally.
With these new contracts coming in, we have a lot of balls in the air right now. Right. And most of the time, that's what's happening in any given company, multiple contracts, multiple projects. It's just normal, right?
Absolutely. Right. This is almost always the case. But using an idiom like that really does alleviate just a little bit of the stress instead of saying like, we, you know, we have a lot of difficult things going on, right? If you say, we've got a lot of balls in the air, it feels a little less scary, a little lighter.
Lighter, I think. Less scary, lighter, a little more playful. I think this series is all about how to be a little playful in business, how to lighten things up in a business meeting with idioms.
Exactly. I love it, right? I mean, if you are talking about, basically, you're mentioning a clown juggling, like, of course, that's going to lighten it up. We don't actually think of that. We're just talking about lots going on, but it's automatically, because it's idiomatic, it's automatically going to lighten the mood.
Yeah. Okay. We're ready for the next one, I think, Aubrey. What would be the third idiom?
All right. This is back to the drawing board, which means for some reason you need to start over, often because something didn't go as planned.
Yeah, for sure. And this happens too, right? So there are a lot of dead ends in business, right? You follow one path, you think it's going to be great, and then no, doesn't work. Back to the drawing board, right? What would be a sample sentence?
Yeah, you might hear, unfortunately, they didn't accept the proposal, so we're back to the drawing board. This is really a pretty positive way of saying this. If you think of all of the ways that you could convey this to someone, like, it didn't work out, everything's ruined, we have to start over. Ooh,
that's
very fatalistic. Whereas if you just say, you know, back to the drawing board, it's more about starting over.
Yeah, start over would be the one that I would think that you would say in real terms, not in an idiom. And it is kind of, that is a discouraging phrase.
We Even have that is over. Discouraging. It's
start
true.
Over. It kind of evokes memories of childhood where maybe you filled out a worksheet and your teacher said it's wrong. Start over, right? They turn over the page. Terrible.
It is terrible. No one wants to have to start over. No. But this kind of more fun, like, all right, you know what? It's okay. I'm gonna go back to the drawing board. No problem.
Yeah. And this builds bonds with your colleagues and you're doing it together. Back to the drawing board, going back to the drawing board. So it's good. This is good stuff, Aubrey.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay. I love the next one. Move the needle. We use this a lot.
Yes. This came up in our business course, I remember, with one of the interviews, because the business professionals we were interviewing were just naturally using it because we use it all the time. And at business meetings as well, definitely it means just to make significant progress, to achieve something that has a positive impact on the situation.
Oh my gosh, because again, it comes back to the fact that companies in any one day, we could do 1,000 different things. Like my email is just 100 emails in there. I could answer any of them. But what is the one or two thing? What are the one or two things that are going to move the needle forward? We have to focus on those things, right?
Exactly. Often that's what we need to prioritize, right? What is going to really create progress quickly here. So you might say, we've been able to move the needle on our goal of zero emissions. I imagine like in a brainstorming session with electric vehicles, that would be an exciting thing to say, like, hey, we've moved the needle on making this a possibility.
Oh, for sure. And it's not easy, especially large companies, just increasing their profit margin from like 3% to 4% is really, really hard for a huge company. So this is where this comes into play, making small increments, but something that you'll see a material change, right? That term material is also, we could do another episode, Aubrey, on a material change. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's a great idea. Be sure to hit follow, guys. We're always coming up with new ideas for future episodes. You don't want to miss them.
For sure. All right, let's get this. Oh, no, we have another. Yes. What is it?
One last one is cut corners. This is interesting. It means taking shortcuts, usually to save resources like money or time, but it definitely has a negative implication of, it could have a negative impact. So you'll most often hear this with us saying, like, we don't want to cut corners. Let's avoid cutting corners.
Yes.
But you could also, if you're just saying, I need to save time, be like, I had to cut corners on this.
Yeah. This is super useful in negative or positive situations.
Yeah.
We like that one too. Good stuff. All right.
I just had one example sentence to say, we want to provide the best possible quality. So let's avoid cutting any corners.
Right.
This I see a lot, right? If we're thinking about quality over cost, that's when we might say like, no cutting corners here. The quality has to be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, sometimes, especially if you work in a manufacturing or food manufacturing or something, things show up down the line. Where maybe there's something wrong in your food, right? We have to make sure we do things right from the start if we can, as much as
every
possible.
Now and then you see a company have to do a major recall where they're having to pull back all of the product because there was some kind of problem. Imagine the monetary loss when a company has to do that. Much better to not cut corners in the first place and try to avoid something like that happening.
Yeah. I mean, what just came to my mind, it's not a pleasant example, but there, I don't know if you heard about this, Aubrey, there was a applesauce that was on the shelves that was proved to have lead chromium in it. So kids were getting tested for lead in their blood.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And from Ecuador. So it had been happening abroad and something had been getting added. And the FDA didn't catch it. And this was just like, I just heard about this on the Daily, the New York Times podcast. And so that's an example of something happened. Someone cut corners putting lead in there. I think it has to do with the cinnamon. So it makes it brighter or something. I don't know. But yeah, it's really a scandal coming out right now.
Oh, man, that's crazy. And yeah, it's not the first time we've ever heard about something like this happening, right? And then there'll be like maybe an outbreak of E. coli or something because something wasn't clean enough, something went wrong. So this is vital that companies don't cut corners to try to avoid something like this happening.
Oh my gosh, crazy stuff. All right, Aubrey, let's go into our role play for today. So we are in a business meeting, all right?
Yes, I'll start us off. We have a lot of balls in the air right now. We're going to need some outside-the-box thinking to manage it all.
I have some ideas on how to move the needle on a couple of these projects, but it might require us to cut some corners.
I'm excited to hear what you've come up with. I think a consultant is being brought on as well to iron some things out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You had one line there. Yeah.
I know. I lost my point.
New page.
Here we go. We had found one, but it didn't work out. So we're back to the drawing board on that. All right.
Nice. Yes. Okay. This is great. I love this at first, just to like, this is a pretty friendly way to say like, we're slammed. Maybe we've got our, you know, there are a lot of other idioms you could say to say like, we're drowning. We can't keep our heads above water, that are sort of scarier. This is a more positive one. We have a lot of balls in the air right now.
Yeah. Although I do love the term we're slammed. I think it's very fun and playful. It doesn't feel scary. It's just kind of fun. We're slammed.
It's really busy.
Slammed.
That is pretty fun. You're right.
Yeah, it's a fun one. We're going to need some outside the box thinking. Now this is being used as a compound adjective, right? To describe the way of thinking. Yeah.
I know. I switched it on purpose to highlight this, that we also, of course, say, you know, thinking outside the box. And then we flip it this way to say, we need some outside the box thinking.
Yeah. Ooh, interesting. Okay. What else? And I said,
and then you said, I've got some advice, you know, I have some ideas on how to move the needle on a couple projects. So how we can get some progress. But then you said, might require us to cut corners. So you're sort of warning, like, we would maybe need to save on the budget or somehow on resources, we might need to cut something out.
Right. And then we said, you're excited to hear what we've come up with. And then I said, we had found one, but it didn't work out. So we're back to the drawing board. And this is the better alternative to we're starting over. We said that that has certain connotations that are discouraging at the very least, right?
Yes. This is a little more positive, right? Back to the drawing board. No problem. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Okay, Aubrey, what's our takeaway for today?
Yes, I have loved these first two installments of this series. We use so many idioms at work, great phrases to make speech a little bit more natural and less formal, even during really formal situations like business meetings.
Yeah, I mean, it's still about connection, right? Every episode that we say how important connection is, but it's true. There's so much we can do just in choosing to use an idiom instead of a standard vocabulary word that can build connection, can lighten the mood, can motivate people, can make you feel closer to your colleagues. Right, Aubrey?
Yes, absolutely. Practice using these idioms so that you're comfortable and confident to add them next time you have a business meeting. I love
it. Yes. All right, guys, hit follow so that you don't miss part three, right? Which is coming soon, sometime in the next few weeks. We won't tell you when.
Awesome. Yes, be sure to hit follow so you don't miss it. We'll see you there.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Lindsay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Business English, a podcast just for you, the high-achieving global professional. Want more from All Ears English? Don't miss our biggest and best podcast with 8 million monthly downloads. Just search for the All Ears English podcast and hit follow to get 4 new episodes per week on fluency, American culture, grammar, and so much more. Or tap the link in the show notes. Remember, we believe in connection, not perfection, when it comes to learning English. Follow the All Ears English podcast now.